This is a great part of Scripture that just offers hope. You know, because each and every day when we get up in the morning or when we live our lives, the one thing that we're looking for is the promise of God to be encouraged in our life, to be seen in different parts of our life, that we would move forward in a positive attitude. And it's not always easy to do, is it? But can you imagine, even for this moment, someone like Simon, someone like Anna, where it talks about that they dedicated their life to the promises of God. You know, turning around and considering Anna, after she was widowed, she in reality became a servant of the temple and didn't leave. She dedicated her life to this. This is how serious it was for her. And then you see someone like Simon, who has been promised a long time ago that he would eat the promise he was going on. He says, and when it time days after the birth. In other words, when a mother gave birth, she had to wait 40 days before she could go to the temple. And she would offer these offerings for her male child. And so, after 40 days, she was fulfilling the law of Moses. She was going to the temple with her child. In reality, promising him over to the Lord. And so she brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, for as it is written, every male child who opens the womb shall be called holy or blessed and given to the Lord. And to offer this great sacrifice, or it may not seem very great to us, but this goes to show actually probably their economic status. Mary and Joseph weren't loaded. They didn't have all the feature comforts of life. They were offering this very modest sacrifice for this boy child that they had received, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. It would be very modest in a sacrifice. So you can see their economic status was not like top notch. Why is this important? Well, the fact of it is that it was not about prestige. It was not about power or position within Israel that God chose these things. It was about the throne of David being continued. And as the promise came. But often we as human beings will turn around and we'll want to see someone. We'll picture, well, if they're going to be president, they must have came from a rich family. If they're going to be a congressman, they must have at least came from a wealthy family. And maybe, you know, if you're going to be a town person, well, you could come from a modest family. But the fact of it is, this is not how God operates. It wasn't about the prestige. It wasn't about what the understanding. It was the promise of God. That great promise. They came to the temple to do their part. In other words, that every bit of the law was kept. And so she comes there, but that's not the important thing at this point. The important thing that Luke is going to share with us is not only was the fulfillment given of the Christ child, but there were people that were living in great expectation of it. See, and this is the thing, even the whole nation Israel was waiting for a Messiah. But yet they didn't all believe. They didn't believe that Christ was that Messiah, that Jesus was the Christ. And so now, when they go to the temple, and they're doing their offering, it says, now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simon. And this man was very righteous, and he was devout. He was dedicated to his faith. And he was waiting for the consolation, or the promised one, of Israel. And this was even spoken about throughout the Old Testament. And so he had received from the Holy Spirit this confirmation that he would be able to see this. And it says straightforward that the Holy Spirit was upon him. This was a mighty individual. We may not think of that way, but the fact of it is, there's not a lot of people. I mean, there is a good select few, no doubt about it, that the Scripture talks about, especially the Old Testament prophets, that there was the Spirit upon them. But this Simon was found in the temple. The Spirit was upon him. God was guiding him. But also, he was receptive to that word. Do we understand how great we are in the kingdom of God? Because it's no longer about just the Spirit being present with us or upon us, boldly because of the barriers. Within amazing thing, but Simon having the Spirit upon him, and now Luke tells us, it says, and it was revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ, or the anointed, or the Messiah, however you want to say it. He was had received this promise from God. How many things have we received by promise of God? Are we consistent in it? He promises to us that Christ, in reality, has paid the redemption price, not of just me, but the whole world. He has promised that he has his eyes upon the sparrow, so how much more valuable are you? Do we believe these promises of God? Do we understand that when we speak even to our Sunday school kids and we tell them, God knows the very hairs on your head, that that is a promise from God? Do we believe that as adults? Do we believe that as young individuals? Do we live our life in the expectation and the great hope of all the promises that God has poured out before us? Do we believe the greatest promise of God that, you know, who can be against us if God is for us? How do we live in this world? Now that we've gone through, say, the Christmas season, or at least the Christmas Eve, and now we're entering into the Sundays of Christmas, how do we live our life knowing the Christ child? Do we live with great expectation and hope? Do we have the encouragement? Do we move forward from today or from yesterday or whatever day is, forward in the great expectation of knowing God is on our side? He loves us. He loves us so much he sent this son for us. That by his finished work, by his great hope, we would have this great redemption. Now, some, it seems a long time, but he was victorious. He walks our watchfulness, that our patience in the Lord will pay off. And in all honesty, has paid off. See, we turn around oftentimes and we talk about the fact of people, you know, that live outside of, say, the kingdom of God. And how sometimes they say, well, you know, what benefit is there as being in the kingdom of God? If we are saved by grace through faith, then at any time in our life, if God so allows time to continue, we can jump in. But do we realize there is extreme benefit to living in Christ today? Not just tomorrow or next week or maybe when I get older or when my kids graduate. But today, to receive the protection, the guidance, and the strength of the Holy Spirit, to be encouraged by God the Father each and every day, that no matter what may happen in your life, that you know you are more than a conqueror through Him who has loved you. This is the promise of God that we live in. So there is immense benefit to being a Christian and living in a Christian style and a Christian life today. But the world, it kind of it shows you other things, doesn't it? It tells you, if you take this path, you might have a little more fun. Really? Is that what it translates into? More fun? In all honesty, it often translates into more headaches, more difficulties, more covering up. And I'm not talking about legalism, it can be anything. See, the fact of it is there is no greater thing than to know that the finished work of Jesus Christ covers a multitude of sin for you. And to believe this, and to the one that actually fools reality as a burden. Let go of those things. Hear the promises of God. Hear the strength of God that was proclaimed not only to Simon but to Anna, that was proclaimed to Mary and to Joseph, that was proclaimed to the shepherds in the field. Hear the promises of God that is proclaimed to each and every one of us. By the finished work of Jesus Christ, our sins have been paid. This is the hope in the restoration of this world. And I think it's so interesting because we may take these things light and we may not. I don't know. I can't gauge for you. But I know oftentimes in my life, I have a tendency to take this in a light way. But then what is the first thing to nail me to the wall? My sinfulness. And the adversary says to me, really? You think you are? Or you think you got it figured out? Does God know about this? But the fact of it is, yes. Yes, he does. And the scripture says, and in times of our ignorance, God winks at them, but calls all men everywhere to repent and to believe this gospel message, to understand that he has good things for us. And this is the proclamation and the hope of this Christmas season. And see, God promised to Simon, he promised to Anna, that they would see this. And they were encouraged, and they continued, not in the understanding of the world, not in the understanding of the ways of this world, but they continued in the promises of God. Can you imagine the excitement now when the Spirit brings Simon to the temple, and the parents also then bring in the Christ child to do according to him what was the custom of the law? And it says right away, take can you child, I don't know how the song. When he's promised by God that he will not taste death until he sees the anointed one. And Simon gets to pick him up in his arms. He's picking up God. And he's praising him because he has received the vision and actually the physical understanding of the Messiah, of the redemption, of the redeeming, buying back of the human race. This is a huge moment. The promise of God is fulfilled before Simon's eyes. This would be like, I don't know how to even describe this. But the fact of it is, if we could just literally at one moment see who we are in the flesh, and then the very next moment be transposed into the heavenlies of heavenly, to understand who we are in Christ, to see ourselves in that perfect fashion that God has ordained for us, in the perfect setting, with the perfect amount of love, and with the perfect comfort, and the perfect restoration. From one moment being in our sinful flesh to the next moment being at the heaven, in the heavens with God. Every promise is fulfilled for Simon. And he turns around, and this is most likely in the woman's court of the temple scene, because we understand Mary is here. We understand that Anna is also going to be here. So when he turns around and he took him up in his arms, it says that he had. And he allows. Simon couldn't push that thing. God has opened opportunity for each and every one of us. Will our eyes be open? Do we see the redemptive work of this Messiah before us? Do we see, in spite of ourselves, God loved us so much that he gave us his only begotten Son? Do we claim that Christ child as our own? I remember one brother who shared a message, and I'm sure you've heard it, and I won't use his name, but the fact of it is he talked about, he remembers when he understood Christ for the first time. I believe he was like 3 or 4 years old, and he says he was in a church service, and there was a little baby manger down there in the church service on a Christmas Eve, and the pastor was preaching powerfully, and he said, and I remember looking down and seeing that and hearing the words, and he said, and I knew that was my baby Jesus. When? And I'm not asking for a specific date, but in other words, do you realize when that moment was, when he became real to you? When the promise was fulfilled? See, because personally, for each and every one of us, the promise is fulfilled when we trust in him, when we believe in him, when we know him. And like I said, I'm not looking for a date, but what I'm asking for is, do you know? Do you have this understanding that this is your Christ child, that this child in reality is your Redeemer, and he has come personally, very personally for you? And Simon rejoices in this because God had promised, and God had also promised not only to Simon but to the whole earth, that this relieve each way position up, and as we also share hope that we have with the excitement that we live in, that we also would enter into this world proclaiming this. This is a great thing. There is no greater time upon the earth to proclaim the blood of Christ to people. It's needed just as much as it was then, today. And if not, all the more, because time is fleeting. No matter what, every single day that we live, we are a day closer to eternity. And I'm not talking even in the consummation, the destruction of the earth. That'll come in its own time. But how do we know the individual we're sitting next to or the individual we encounter will not go tomorrow? The time is of great importance. The time to share this message and to believe this message and to be encouraged by this message is now. And that is the proclamation that we need to carry out. And Simon turns around. He lifts him up in his hands and he praises God because he says, I have seen him. I know. I am assured. I have received. He says, now the servant can depart in peace. And I love how he talks about it because he says, he calls himself a servant. And this is exactly what we see even with Mary, when she is told she will carry the Christ child. This is the heart of individuals that are close to God. That they are not the dictators, they are not the authority, but rather that they are the servants. Paul himself was a mighty individual, but he called himself a slave to Christ. That we serve. He says, now your servant can depart in peace, according to your word. Of course what? He goes on to praise. He says, for this is the Christ child. He is the salvation in reality of the world. Not all will know it, but he is offered for it. How will they know? It says within the scripture, by the proclamation of the word, that hearing they may believe. Brothers and sisters in Christ, may we continue to proclaim. He says, now, he says, that you have prepared this in the presence of all people. And really it speaks about all nations. Yes, first for the Israelites, but then open to all individuals by their rejection even. And it says, and a light for the revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory of your people Israel, for the power, for the strength, for the might of the people of Israel. He says, and his father and mother now turn and they marveled at these things. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine what they've been through? Can you imagine the fact of that they've gone through this conception, right? And then you get this encouragement by Gabriel and the angels of God that tell Joseph, take her, don't be afraid. And then you have the fleeing to Egypt. You have even the individuals coming to visit and to offer gifts. You hear the accounts of their story, how they saw the great host of heaven rejoicing over this. It's an amazing thing. But yet they still marveled and they still pondered these things. When you receive that word, you receive that promise of God, what do you do? Do we ponder it? Do we think on it? Are we encouraged by it? Or does it make us afraid? There is no reason to be afraid. For if God is for us, who can be against us? The truth of the matter is that he comes in the form of Jesus Christ and he says, I watch for a bug. Tell me one God that human beings have worshipped that says, I will take your place. There isn't one. All the false gods of this world demand a perfectness out of you, and maybe you will become acceptable to him. The true God of heaven sees our infirmity, and he desires to help, and he promises restoration. And he doesn't pass it off on somebody else. He takes the job upon himself. And he came to this earth and he redeemed. And he paid the penalty, the sin debt of this whole world on the cross of Golgotha. This is your God. This is why Simon rejoices and says, I have seen the redeeming. I have seen the Savior. Because it is this God who loves you so much that he surrendered himself. You're not going to find that in Allah. You're not going to find that in the Hindu gods. You will not find that in the religions of men. Grace is unique to Jesus Christ. And so when he turns around and he praises this point, they really pondered on these things. And Simon turns around and blesses them. And said to Mary, behold, this child is appointed for the rise and fall of many. And that is very true, depending on where you stand. You trust in him, he is your redeemer. You reject him, he is in reality your death. But you've chosen that. And he turns around and he says, so the rise and fall of many in Israel, he says, and also as a sign of opposition. He will be that stumbling stone. There's no doubt about it. As a 3-year-old. Don't think that the cross. And she watched as he was crucified. This was definitely a very, very powerful thing for the things that she'd have to go through, being the mother of our Lord. He says, so that also all the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. And then he comes around to the point of telling us, Luke says, and there was also another, Anna. She was this daughter of Phanuel. But anyways, and he was of the tribe of Asher, and she was advanced in years. She was actually probably, I'm guessing by reading the math in here, maybe 70s, closer to 80. But anyways, thinking if she got married young, whatnot. But the fact of it is, it says she was 84 in this one. King James doesn't say that. But anyways, ESV says she was 84. But she dedicated herself after she was a widow to the temple. She did not leave that temple. She worshipped and she fasted and she prayed day and night. Can you imagine the dedication that she poured out to this? And then now, coming that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and speak to all that were waiting for the redemption or the buying back of Jerusalem. This is really what it speaks about. Here she was, dedicating herself to her calling. She was dedicating herself to this temple worship, praising God, praying, in reality praying for all those that seek for the redemption, and she sees it. This is once again one of those aha moments where the great transposing comes into place. In other words, here we are, living upon this earth. You imagine being here and living, and all of a sudden, when you take your last breath, seeing what you're going to see. As a saved individual in Christ. You know, maybe you're prom work, and you do this, ever have that happen? They lead you on, and you still haven't seen it. But there's one person in your office that says, no, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. I'm working on it. And then all of a sudden, you receive that carnal raise. And you think, yes! What a relief! How great this is! Well, those are carnal matters. You'll just spend more anyway. But the fact of it is, now you have an individual that has dedicated their life to the promises of God, understanding that it will come in time, and they have poured their heart and soul. Now understand this. She didn't leave. She lived in reality in that temple scene. She spent every day there doing this. And all of a sudden the revelation is brought to her. Can you imagine the excitement within her heart? And how she would proclaim to the people that God's promises are true. Well, brothers and sisters in Christ, that's what the Christmas season is. It's a revelation that God's promises are true. That He delivers what He speaks. And He spoke it in the Old Testament and He delivers it now. And it's delivered each and every day to us. And the hope and the restoration. This is so true. And so when you turn around and you stop and you look at what does this story say to me? This account of the scripture gives testimony of two individuals that had dedicated themselves to God, and God had promised to them, and guess what? He delivered, and they rejoiced. Well, God has promised to us, and He has delivered. And through the finished work of Jesus Christ, we are redeemed. By the faith in the finished work of Christ, our sin debt is paid. We are a people most blessed, aren't we? This is the Christmas season. It's not about what new gizmo we can get. It is about the restoration that God gives the hope of redemption. But we're so fixated sometimes on preaching about the drunks and the drugs and the homosexuals, we forget to preach the hope. Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, I'm telling you. You want to help people out of a hole? Don't tell them what kind of hole they're in. They'll keep digging deeper. Help them out of the hole. Share the gospel of Christ. That while we are in the midst of sin, Christ came and died for the ungodly. When they know Him, they will climb out of that hole because there will be a hand extended that will pull them out. And that is Jesus Himself. This is the heart of Christmas. God has given a Redeemer. Rejoice in Him. For Jesus' name's sake. Amen. Let us unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for this gift that You have given to this world. Father, we pray that we would continually be as John the Baptizer, that we would proclaim, that we would point, and we would say, Behold the Lamb of God who takes the sin of the world away. Oftentimes, Father, as human beings, we have a tendency to pour more sin upon people rather than showing them the remedy. We pray that you would allow us to be the individuals of the good news, that we would show them the remedy. Father, we pray that you'd be with each and every one gathered here, that you'd strengthen us and encourage us in the upcoming week. We pray that you'd allow us to be ambassadors of your gospel. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you continue to be with all those that are struggling through any difficulty and allow us also to be a strength to them. We pray, Father, that you would also be sanctify us in your truth each and every day and allow us to read your truth, which is your word. Now the Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. Lord, lift up his countenance upon us and give us everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, the Son.